Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:32 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is January 15th, and it's also Martin Luther King Day, so Wall Street was closed today, but the futures markets were open. They spent most of the day in positive territory, but are closing out the day pretty much unchanged. In Asia this morning, Hong Kong has begun to show signs of tiring after what has been a very impressive advance since the beginning of December. It's right up to test that 32,000 level, and it didn't quite hold all of that advance in here today to finish just down 73 points, but that figure belies the rather big move that we had. It would suggest that we're in for some pause and consolidation. And in fact, on the A-share market on the mainland in Shanghai, then we had a downside key day reversal from the region of the November high from the 3600 level, and again it suggests that we're in for some pause and consolidation following what was and has been a very impressive advance off the lows in December. Well, part of the reason that we're getting some pause on the stock market has been because of the strength of the renminbi, and it strengthened up considerably over the last couple of days to hit a new high. But again, this is a change as well, that the figure, if you were to look at it, belies what's happened on the chart, that there's a substantial tail on it, which would suggest that the Chinese are not particularly enamored with the idea of the renminbi strengthening beyond the September lows, and that the chances are that we are going to get some pause and consolidation following what has been a pretty impressive advance over much of the last 6 weeks. Now, when we look across the water a little at Japan, then the Nikkei has paused around this 24,000 level, and it is susceptible to some additional pause of consolidation, not least because it is a little bit overbought, having completed the most recent of its ranges. But when we look at this over, like for example, on a 10-year basis, then it has rallied very impressively since the middle of 2017, and there is a short-term overbought condition, and not least relative to the trend mean, but a sustained move back below that that measure would be required to question potential for additional upside. And when we look at the banking index, it has continued to extend its break back above the 200-point area, and I continue to highlight this because when you look at it on a very long-term basis, then we get an idea of just how depressed the Japanese banking sector is, that the price, I'm not exactly talking about the valuation, but the price is not that far off where it was back in the early 2000s before it rallied pretty spectacular with with Koizumi coming into power. And we have increasing evidence that inflationary pressures are beginning to mount on a global basis, not necessarily only in Japan, where you have a very tight labor market, and which is largely being kept under control, or the wage demands are being kept under control by increasingly large numbers of women joining the workforce, which is a revolution all on its own for a country like Japan. But we also have we have higher inflation in the UK as a result of the weakness of the pound over the last few years, although certainly with the recent weakness of the US dollar, the pound continues to extend its rebound, and it is at 137.95 at the close of trading in here today, and it has held this progression of higher reaction lows since the end of 2016, and as long as it is doing that, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Well, when we look at the euro, it really has, if we were to just simply take the labels off the chart, this has base formation completion characteristics, with the first step above the base also now being completed, and that a sustained move back below 120 would be required to question the conclusion that we're in a recovery trajectory for the euro. Well, when we look at all the problems that the eurozone has had, then it might be reasonable to question how on earth could the currency be rallying. But the reality is that the ECB is moving away from its quantitative easing program, and if they are, and they're already tapering, they expect to have completed that taper by September, which is a pretty swift taper in comparison to the speed with which the USA tapered its program. And it holds out the prospect that the ECB will be moving towards rate hikes faster than many people had anticipated. And that pricing in of that potential is what is contributing to the relative strength of the euro versus the dollar. And the dollar index has failed in the region of the trend mean, and it moved to a new reaction low in here today. So this is a completed top formation with now a first step below it, and it's encountered resistance in the region of the lower side of its range, and it will need to at least sustain a move back above the trend mean to signal that we're back in a demand-dominated environment for the dollar. And that's reasonably good news for the precious metals and for commodities generally. Gold was reasonably unchanged in here today, but it continues to hold the move above the $1,300 area, whereas silver was up by approximately 22 cents. It didn't quite hold all of the advance, and it is right now in the region of those highs from back in November and October. But as long as it is holding the region of the $17 area, then I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to higher to lateral ranging. And when we look at this on a longer term chart, well, we can see that it has been ranging, albeit in a reasonably volatile environment, for much of the last year. And ranges are explosions waiting to happen. So when it eventually breaks, it is going to do so in a dynamic and in a surprising manner, which is the nature of breakouts. And the likelihood is that this entire trading platform over the last 3 years is a base formation, which would suggest that the surprises are likely to be on the upside when they come. And platinum is back above $1,000 for the first time in a while. Now, the last two times in that it has traded above 1,000, it has not been able to hold those advances. So this is, I think, a rather critical juncture here, because we do have something of a short-term overbought condition. It has rather raced from around that 875 level to get up to this $1,000 area. And the last time it did that, back in July, it gave up almost the entire advance. So the extent to which platinum can hold this advance following what has been a pretty impressive rally is going to, I think, inform the opinion of many investors as to just how likely it is that it's going to be able to push on to new recovery highs. And palladium, which has been leading throughout this period, was pushing on to new highs again. It was up almost an additional $20 in here today. And when we look at that on the longer term basis, then there is now evidence of acceleration, that it is going up faster than it has been doing for much of the last year. And what that suggests is that the first clear downward dynamic is likely to signal or greatly increase the potential for mean reversion, which at the current price at least would be almost a $200 decline. So this is a time for to be thinking about at least a trailing stop on a long position. But when we look at the industrial metals complex generally, it is still a pretty impressive recovery trajectory that we see for the LME Metals Index. When we look at copper, for example, then this is still very much a recovery scenario, and as long as it is holding the region of the trend mean, I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. This return to performance of not only the industrial metals but also the mining equities is emblematic of the return to performance of cyclical shares in the latter stages of a cyclical bull market. And we had some friends over to play Mahjong last night, and for people that have never asked me about anything to do with investments previously, two questions came up. One was what to do with Amazon, which has been, of course, one of the best performing shares over the last few years. And the other one is, should I buy Bitcoin? Well, what that suggests to me is that this bull market has transitioned into the cocktail hour discussion segment of the bull market. And it further I think lends support to the view that we are in the third psychological perception stage of this medium-term bull market, and that often climaxes in acceleration. And when we look at something like Amazon, then the pace of the advance has certainly picked up, and this is a share for which acceleration is a consistency characteristic. But so is the progression of higher reaction lows and the sequence of ranges one above another, and it really does need to continue to range one with those ranges one above another if the medium-term upside is to continue to be given the benefit of the doubt. What we are beginning to see is at least some signs that short-term overbought conditions are due some consolidation, and what that would suggest for some of these indices, like on Wall Street, where we have had these very narrow ranges, that will have to continue to be the case, that volatility will have to stay lower around this anything between 9.5 and at 11, if this rather inert environment where we have just I think ranges that are very small being resolved by impressive advances, if that condition is going to continue, then all to the good. But we have to at least give some recognition to the potential that we are quite overextended relative to the trend means, and that there is an increasing potential for some mean reversion. Obviously, clear downward dynamics, which are sustained beyond just a few hours, would really be required to confirm that we have seen peaks of anything other than extremely short-term significance. And when we look at the bond markets, then I think German bunds are going to have an interesting year, because they're right now back up at this 60 basis point level. That's the upper side of a year-long range. But considering they were in negative territory for a few months in 2016, and that not so long ago they were yielding 2%, that the potential for additional upside here, and not least because of the same reasons that are driving the demand for the euro, are also behind the selling pressure that we're seeing in some of the government bond markets. What I find particularly interesting is, despite the fact that we've had a really rather large move in the Bund, that we have not seen a commensurate move in some of the peripheral bonds just yet. That the Italian bond, for example, has moved about 30 basis points in the last month, but has been pretty much inert in January, whereas those German bunds have moved quite a bit already in January. And what that suggests to me, at least, is that there is potential for widening spreads here, and that is not fully priced in. If the ECB is tapering, and they most certainly are tapering, then they're going to be buying less bonds. And that has been a contributing factor to the fact that so many bonds were trading in negative territory. But they buy them in direct relation to the size of the economies within the Eurozone. So obviously they've bought mostly bunds. But Italy is a major economy, so they've been buying a lot of those as well. And if they're tapering, they'll be buying fewer Italian bonds. And the next question, of course, is who else is going to be buying Italian bonds if these yields are going to be sustained around 2%? I think that's a rather big question for the remainder of this year. And then I think it's a similar story when we look at the UK. UK gilts are at about 1 1/3%. They're coming back up towards the upper side of the range for which existed from just about all of 2017. And at that 1.5% area is a rather large area of support for prices, resistance for yields, and a sustained move above it would begin to question whether we're not back in a supply-dominated environment that has got more medium-term consequences. The FTSE 100 today was in slightly negative territory, and again, it's another index that has done really rather well since the beginning of December, and it is looking a little bit overbought in the short term, but that's all it looks, a little bit overbought, not anything that we certainly don't have evidence of acceleration in the majority of these European indices, rather that they have been retarded somewhat by the relative strength of their respective currencies. Now, when we look at, for example, the World Equity Index page, and we can see that this right-hand column is denominated in US dollars. So in US dollars, Wall Street has done reasonably well, but a number of European indices have, and Asian indices in particular, have done better. But when we change that into, for example, British pounds, then just about everywhere so far has done better than the UK, at least in terms of the FTSE 100. And for the euro, well, euro strength might be sapping the potential for upside, but Europe has so far outpaced the US for European investors, but Asia has largely outpaced Europe, with the exception of Italy. So the Italian market has benefited a lot from the ECB buying and the assistance that the banking sector has had by virtue of the fact that the Europeans have broke their own rules in assisting the financial sector. When we look at that Italian index, and obviously we have an election coming up in Italy, well, we can see that the MIB now is coming up towards the upper side of an 8-year base formation, which has been characterized by rather profound volatility, where the upper side of the range is just below 25,000 and the lower side of the range is half that value. Well, as long as the index is holding the region of the trend mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. If it pulls back from the upper side of this long-term base, it'll probably do so in a dynamic manner that will stand out on a weekly chart. But in the absence of a clear downward dynamic, then there is the potential that we are back in a recovery scenario for the Italian market. And what happens with the bond yield and the currency and the stock market is likely to be something to watch over the next few weeks, because Europe is back on a recovery trajectory, and we're back in a period of synchronized global economic expansion. And better growth and better export figures paper over a lot of cracks. And there's no denying that Europe has lots of cracks, but the reality is that those cracks are probably not going to come back as a major problem until the next crisis. And as long as we have a period of synchronized global economic expansion, then the chances are that the next crisis has been delayed somewhat, which lends room to markets like Europe and emerging markets in Japan to play catch up with the USA in the next year or 18 months, and probably all the way up until we get the next recession. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.